Glad to be here. I am. And by the way, I want y'all to know I am not sick. I have lost 30 pounds, but I am not sick. I found a way. My doctor told me, she said, if you don't get off of sugar and carbs, you're going to probably be pre-diabetic and you're going to have to take insulin and all that. And it's like, I don't want that. So I did what she told me, and I immediately, in 3 months, lost 30 pounds. I feel better. I look better. My hair looks better. I mean, everything is better. Y'all look better. Amen? But anyway, I got something that's going to be very simple today. Oh, and by the way, if y'all are sitting in the back, we got chairs up here. These are the $100 chairs. Come up here. There's $100 taped onto one of them. So come on down. But anyway, I have a word that I got that I want to give you today. It's a very simple word, but it's the words that we all started with. How many of you heard that voice when the Holy Ghost knocked on your heart one day and said, come and follow me? You know, that's the sound we'll never, ever forget, because it's ingrained within our spirit, man, because we made one of the best choices anybody could ever make in this world. When he said, come, we came. Now, I want to tell you something. The coming part is good, but the staying part is the problem we have. A lot of times, people don't stay there. I've been a Christian almost for 40 years right now. And I'm watching people, even as when I first got saved, they got saved. And some of them are falling by the wayside because they did not heed that word, come and follow me. And how many of you know Jesus didn't just say that one time? He says that every day. Every day we get up and he says, come and follow me. Come and go with me. Your steps are going to be ordered by me today. If you will come and you will take interest and you will do what I tell you to do, then you're going to be a child of obedience. And we begin to see the favor of God. And the favor of God I'm talking about is not getting more stuff compiled on us. It's coming to a place where you love the Lord more than you've ever did. Things don't matter. How many of you know, if you want some things, you can find it right down there on Flannery Road. You can go down any street in this town and find things if you want to. Those are things that people pray for, got them, believe God for them. Sometimes they didn't. They got them anyway and just went over God's head and found them and got them. And look where they are today. But the greatest thing you will ever have is the presence of God in your life. And I want to stir us up today to come to that place and realize we need to come and follow Jesus today. This is how it starts out. This is a bunch of C words today. The first one is the call. The call that God's got for you in your life. I'll never forget when I first became a pastor, somebody asked me, said, how did you get that call? Did something traumatic happen or something? What transpired in your life to get that? And I said, no, you know what I did? I was lost and undone and blind as a bat. And hurting, and at the bottom of the ring of everything, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, come and follow me. And I accepted Jesus Christ. And it didn't make me a pastor, it made me a Christian. And a Christian is the one that I started with, and still have, by the way. But my life has followed a different path all that way. Being Christian, going from there to a leader, to another leader, to another leader, and being a pastor. But it started with the same call that every one of us has. The call that God's got on your life. Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, he's saying, come and do this. Come and reason together. Let's sit down and talk about this. And you say, well, I've done that already. What are you talking about? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about, because things of this world sometimes come and they pull us away from that thought of coming to the Lord. Amen. Can I get a good amen out of that? Amen. You know, one of the things is high water. Sometimes it comes. And it'll get our attention. Janice and I didn't flood this year at all. Our house was still, it would have had to go up another 14 inches to get in it. But in 1983, I went underwater right here in Shamrock Gardens, just like you guys are doing. And I know exactly what you're going through. In fact, the day after the flood, I was walking in water up to my knees, and I was crying about you guys, because that's the love that God gave me in my heart. And it's like, Lord, my brothers and my sisters, they're suffering and they're going through so much, and I can't even get to them. I can't even talk to them. My phone was down for 6 days. Janice and I were stranded back there in our house 40-something houses in our subdivision flooded. But nevertheless, it gave me love for you because I answered that call one time and he says, come and let us reason together. And one of the reasonings was, love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you know that's the second commandment? And when I did that, I answered that call and so did you. But I don't want you to get diverted by this flood. I don't want you to get diverted by anything else because we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we need to be listening more now than we've ever done before. How many of you know that the flood is minor compared to what our nation is going through? I mean, we need to stop and think about what we need to do in the future. And by the way, if you don't vote, you need to go register to vote and get some things done in this age that we're living in. Amen? He says, everyone who thirsts, come to these waters. Incline your ear and come to me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God's call is still the same. We still have a lost and dying world out there. And what a time now to go and witness to people. One thing I have seen by the houses that I go to help the ones that I can, tearing out sheetrock, I'm running across people I've never seen in my life. And some of them live right around the corner from my house. But you know what it's making me do? It's opening up opportunities to share with people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take advantage of that. If one thing we need to do is quit worrying about our stuff and our studs. I mean, how many of you are gutted and drying out right now? Most of you, yeah. See, all over. That's important to get you back in your house. But I'm going to tell you what, our spiritual lives don't need to be gutted and dry out. If you get what I'm saying. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost and still have a vision in our life for lost people. And what a time to go share that with right now. You see, because you that are Christians, you have hope. You have encouragement. You have faith that you can exercise. But there are people out there that are lost that has no hope. They don't know what to do. I mean, I'm hearing of people committing suicide and running from this town because they don't want it. I'm going to tell you what, you can't run from God. I don't care where you go. You can either go off of a mudslide or go off of a mountain or get a forest fire or a flood, but you ain't going to run from God. So if you're here and you're running, you need to stop right now. You need to stop and say, you know what, this came for a reason. And I need to come to that place and say, come now, let us reason together. Amen? Amen. I feel a preach coming on here. The invitation is John 3:16. How many of you know that scripture? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish in any way, but have everlasting life. Amen? You've been called today. That is a call for every one of us to go back to our basics and say, I need God in my life. And I don't understand half of what I'm seeing going on, but one thing I do know, my God is real, and he's never failed me, and he never will, and he's still got a call on my life today. Amen? I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You have life in you. You may have stuff piled in the street. They might have towed your cars off. You may not have a whole lot of things around, but one thing you got, honey, is life. You got life. You're going to live forever. Amen? And we're going to live in a mansion one day that's not going to burn. It's not going to flood. It's going to be beautiful. Hallelujah. Now, there's another one. That was the call. This is the cause of it. The cause. Listen to what Jesus said. It says, or said about Jesus, taken out of John 18. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We have a cause, people. I mean, we have a cause. Jesus came to this world because of a cause that was necessary. And that was to save us by his precious blood. We were sinners and bound for hell. But when he came, because of that cause, he set us free from that we can have life. And he is the truth. Did not Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father but through me. He came here because it was a cause that would transform our lives forever. Amen? There's another part of this right here that sometimes we want to really back off of, and it's the cost of it. I'll never forget one time I was listening to Dr. Vance Havner. I don't know if y'all know him. I don't want to tell the whole story, but he was a great man of God. I watched him preach, and he was one night he gave an invitation. It was a young 15-year-old boy in the choir singing. And he gave an invitation, and over half the church came down, and it was, I mean, a move of God. People were getting saved. And this young man raised his hand in the choir to get saved. And he came down and got there. And Dr. Vance Havner was about 85 pounds, soaking wet. He was like thunder when he spoke, but he was a skinny, frail little guy. And he walked right up to that 15-year-old boy, and he said, "Do you know what you're fixing to do?" Of course, the young kid, you know, he's backed up like, "I don't know. I thought I was coming to get saved, you know." And he told him, he said, "I'm going to tell you what, you better count the cost." And he quoted some scriptures that Jesus said. He says, if anybody starts to build a tower, let him count the cost. If anybody does this, let him count the cost. If anybody denies himself and comes after me, he's counting the cost. And he kept pointing to this young guy, and it's like, man. He's embarrassing this kid. He is riddling him apart. And that young man just kind of rose to his feet, and he said, "You know what? I'll live for Jesus until the day I die." Amen. And you know what? I was at Sonny's one time about 15 years after that, and I saw that young redheaded young man come in there, and he walked over to me, and he said, "Pastor Kenny," he said, "do you remember me?" And I said, "I'm going to be honest, I don't," because he's big, big barrel-chested guy, got guns and badges and whistles and bells and all kinds of stuff on him. And he said, "I'm that young man that Dr. Havner pointed out in that meeting." And I said, "Are you still serving God?" He said, "I'll serve God all the days of my life." He counted the cost. Are we counting the cost? It says building a tower. Another one is denying oneself and take up his cross daily. That doesn't mean every 6 months you turn over a new leaf or make a new dedication. It means every day. The Apostle Paul got up and said, "You know what? I speak in tongues more than you all." But he also said, "I die daily." He realized that there's a sin nature man that lives inside of every one of us. And if we don't crucify that thing, we're going to do what we want, when we want it, and get it the way we want it. Instead of saying, "You know what, God? I'm going to die to myself. And whatever comes my way, I know it's from you, and I'll be blessed by it." I mean, Janice and I didn't flood, but I'm going to tell you what, we're going through things that's life-changing right now in our lives that's different than what we've ever gone through. In fact, one night, you people that come to the Sunday night group, you remember one Sunday night I got a word and I gave it and I said, "The Lord keeps impressing on me that there's something coming and I'm not sure who it's for or how many it's for, but there's going to be something that never has been before." Does anybody remember that? Couple of you do. And you know what? It wasn't but 1 week later, and every one of us are going through something that we did not know it was coming. We had never seen it before. In fact, if you ask most people about this, they'll tell you right now, this is like something I have never seen before, ever. Lost people and Christian people. But you know what? It ain't over. It's going to get better because God's going to use you guys in the future. We're not the end of the thing, the tail of everything. We're the head of everything. Amen? We're blessed going in. We're blessed coming out. Persecution. There's going to be times where you're going to be persecuted for what you believe. You're going to have to learn how to make a stand for it. You're going to have to learn how to say, "You know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And I will stand for Christ, and I don't care who it makes mad, but I'm going to live for God." Amen? There's another thing. Sometimes you're going to be lied about. Peter did what was right with Potiphar's wife. I mean, she wanted Joseph, and she wanted him. And he said, "No." He said, "I'm over everything in this household, and you're not one of them. And I don't want to be around you." And y'all know the story. She ripped his coat off. It wasn't the first coat he had. It was many coats that Joseph had. But she ripped his coat off and accused him of molesting her. And he went to prison for almost 2 years for doing the right thing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You know, he didn't squabble about that. He went, you know what he did? He picked himself up by his bootstraps. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to be the best prisoner they have in this place." And the Bible says that even the jailers had favor with him and blessed him in all things. And he became great in the kingdom of God. Still is. But we got to come to that place sometimes, even when we're doing the right thing and get accused of something else and it looks bad. It's like, does it matter? If you're in the truth, God has got greater things for you. Amen? Somebody ought to say amen there. New relationships. Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Do it. You see, right now, if I had to ask, and you don't have to raise your hand, but out of all of this chaos that's going on, have you stopped your daily Bible reading? Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped witnessing? Anybody with me? Just grunt. Just, you know? But we can't stop. We can't afford to do that because life, we're either going for God or we're going against God. And that tells me that I don't care what we go through, we got to dig in. We got to pray. We got to get the word of God in us and look for somebody that's worse off than you are and bless their socks off. Amen? I mean, Donna gave a testimony Thursday morning. I know I'm running out of time here, but I'm hurrying. But anyway, Donna gave a testimony and said, this flood has made a blessing come my way because she's getting her whole house redone, got a new car riding in. She's got money in her. You got money in your pocket, don't you? Right now, okay. But good things are happening. You know why? Because she hasn't taken her eyes off the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, if you come by her house with somebody that's lost, she's going to tell them about Jesus. I know how she is. I've been around her for a long time. But we can't stop serving God, and we can't stop doing what God wants us to do. Amen? Hey, oh, hallelujah. Remember the plow. Remember the plow. Jesus gave some scenarios. He says, come and follow me. And some of them said, well, I can't. You know, I got family members coming, and I got this going on, and I can't do it. And then another one says, well, my father died. I got to go bury him. And then another one gave an excuse, and Jesus says, any man putting his hand to the plow and turning back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I don't want you there. You're not going to be that way in my watch. I'm going to tell you that. I don't have much authority over anything, but I'm going to tell you what. You're my brother. You're my sister, and I will get in your face if you start to turn back. And I will pop your hand and say, turn that plow loose. Amen? You think that's love or you think that's mean? Remember the pillar of salt. God told Lot, he said, leave this city. It's going to flood. And it did. It not only flooded, but it burnt to the ground. I mean, pieces of it right now are in the Dead Sea. That's where a lot of the magnesium and a lot of the chemicals and things that's in there, literally you can go float in that water. You can't even drown yourself in the Dead Sea. But you go there, and it's like that because God told him, get out of this city. And he left. And y'all know the story. Him and his wife was running up that mountain going, and they get pretty good ways out of town. And all at once, Lot's wife is running. She's losing stride, and she turns and looks back at Sodom and Gomorrah. She loved Lot a lot, but she loved Sodom and Gomorrah a lot more than she did Lot. And she definitely loved it more than she did God. And that's a horrible situation because we can't love this world and the things of this world. Because we just got it piled up here, but there's going to be a day come, it's going to burn up. All of it's going to be gone. I know what that is. Our house burned down when I was a young kid. I don't have a picture of me nowhere in my life how I grew up or what grew up about me because everything in there was nothing but a pile of ashes. And it's like, this is the time to start over. This is a good time to get over this situation. Hallelujah. We're commissioned. Freely you have received, freely give. I mean, right now people are pouring blessings out on us. I mean, I'm amazed at America that some people did not make the national news like a lot of stuff do. We just got flooded. But I'm going to tell you what, people in America are finding out that are Christians, and they say, let's go help our brothers. Let's go help our sisters. And they're coming everywhere. I mean, the chairs you're sitting in right now, that's a blessing from God. People are coming and giving you money. How many people in here somebody has given you since the flood? And look over here. I mean, all over this room. Because we're blessed. God's taking care of us already. Count our blessings and move on. Freely, you've been given the gospel. Freely give it. When somebody gives you something, I mean, when Janice and I went through that flood, everything that we lost, it was like, you know what? God's going to replace it. And he gave us stuff that was way bigger and better than what we had. I mean, I even put clothes on. It's like, this is way too fancy for me. I can't wear this. But you know what I did? I wrote those people a card and I said, thank you very much for taking the time and your money to go buy that and give it to me. What a blessing that is of God. And I put three or four scriptures in there. And I've made contact with some of those people through since 1983. You do the math on that. And I'm still friends with those people because of something that they bless me with. And when they bless me with it, then I feel that I can freely give it to whoever else. I'm giving you this word today as a blessing from the Lord. Amen? Be a servant. Be a servant. Right now is a good time to be a servant. Go do something. Go help somebody. Go encourage somebody. I've been having this bone spur on my foot for the last 6 months, and there's some things I can't do. I've already wrenched my back. I've got this bone spur. I'm trying to nurse along. But I'm going to tell you what I can do. I can come by and tell you, I love you with the love of the Lord. I care about you. I've been on my face praying for you, and I want to encourage you because you're going to make it through it. You're my brother. You're my sister, and I feel the pain that you go through. But I'm going to tell you what, one day I'm going to rejoice with you because we're going to look back and say, how good is our God? Oh, he loves us. He cares for us. He desires that we have everything that we'll ever need in our lives. Amen? Be a servant. Another one is the Great Commission. We all been commissioned. It didn't just, Brother Terry didn't come along and say, okay, I'm fixing to cut your commission way down. You don't have to follow the commission anymore. You don't have to go out therefore and do this and do that. That part of me just rose up inside of me. It's like, what a time to go and share with people that are lost and undone, that have no hope. The only hope that we can give them is Jesus Christ. And if we do, then we've given them something that will last them throughout eternity. What a time to do that. It says, let me read it to you. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You see, we still have a commandment to love thy neighbor as thyself. We still have a commandment to take care of other people. And lo, listen to this part. If you want, how many of you really want to be close to the Lord? I'm talking about it in a way you've never done before. Listen to this promise. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I'm going to tell you what, the closest I have ever been to God is when I'm witnessing to somebody or helping them and just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I sense the presence of God in a deeper way than I have done any other way, including getting on my face before God sometimes, playing my guitar in a room and just doing nothing. I sense the presence of God when I'm sharing Christ with other people. Amen? I sense it right now. Because we're here talking about the one who matters, and it's Jesus. And when we're doing that, we're carrying out the Great Commission. Some of you come in this door today, you may be lost as a goose. Or you may know, you've heard about Christ, but you really don't know him. You have never really asked him to come into your heart and get that unction of the Holy Spirit to know that you are a child of God. And if you're here today, I want to challenge you. We'll take time to pray with you. Not right now because I'm preaching. I don't have much time. But after this, I want you to come up here and I want you to share with me. Man, I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know what my purpose is. I don't even know how to get forgiven. I don't even know where I'd go if I died today. Well, you know what? I don't want you to go down those steps unless you know where you're going. Amen? Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do greater than those. Let me tell you another one, the sower of seeds. Jesus said, a sower came one day and he was sowing seeds, a farmer. Janice's daddy used to do that all the time, and he showed me how to do it. But it said, some of the seed fell by the wayside. Some of it fell on the rocks. Some of it fell on the thorns, but some of it fell on good ground. And you know, we're not earth inspectors. We're people. I don't know what I'm doing. We're supposed to love people is what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to examine the ground they're walking on. We're supposed to look at them And we never know when a person's coming up and rubbing shoulders with you that's good ground. All they need is a good seed put in their life. And it's up to you and I to put that seed there, not to examine where the seed, did it fall on rocks? Did it fall by the wayside? Or did it fall into thorns? Get that out of your mind and just remember one thing. There are people that are good ground. And right now is a good place for good ground. Because a lot of people are open to hear what you say. Maybe some of the same critics on the way here today, we drove down our old street right here in Shamrock Gardens where we flooded one other time, me and my two neighbors. And we saw one of my neighbors come out and it's like, wow, look here, let's stop and talk to her. So we stopped and talked to her and I used to try to witness to her all the time. And she didn't want to hear a word I said. But you know what she did? She flagged. Did she not flag us down today? She flagged me down and she said, you know one thing? She said, I've learned one thing. This flood is a blessing. She said, you wouldn't know this, but she said, I had two bins over here full and my whole street was filled with stuff that I used to worship. But she said, right now, I could care less about any of it. She said, God has done a cleansing in my life. And I'm sitting there saying, hallelujah, I'm fixing to go preach, but I might just park on the side of the road here and listen to you talk. I mean, you're the very one I used to preach to, and you didn't want to hear nothing I say. Now you preaching to me. Amen? You see, there's some good ground out there, and it might take a flood or it might take something else to get their attention, but God's going to get our attention. Amen? Hallelujah. The character of Christ should be in us. Three things, three C's Jesus had. He had concern, and I want you to know he's concerned about your well-being. You may not look like that sometimes and say, is God really concerned about me? I mean, I'm walking around in water. I got trash in the road. I got this happening, that happening. I'm trying to chase down FEMA. FEMA's going to be chasing me down. I mean, whatever happens, you know. But things is this kind of haywire right here. But I want you to know God is still concerned about you. Another thing is he has compassion on you. If you think you cried during this thing, God cried too. Because he was probably trying to tell us all these years that, you know, you need to get rid of this stuff. Are we done yet? We got just a little bit. But, did y'all see the trash where it was lined up from there all the way to the road? I don't know if y'all remember this, but years ago I preached one Sunday night. And everybody that came in the back, in the door, I gave them a rock, a little small pea gravel rock. And I preached a sermon about things that separate you from God. And I gave everybody that rock, and I brought a post hole digger and a coffee can up there to the altar. And I gave an altar call, and everybody took their rock that represented something in their life that separated them from God. And I said, I want you to come. If you really mean this, if you really want to get rid of that thing, you let that rock represent it, and you come put it in this can right now. I don't know if any of y'all even remember that. But anyway, I did. And I think everybody in the church came and brought a rock and put it in that can. And I said, okay, we're going to go outside. We went outside. It was a misty rain. Went out there, and that's back when we used to preach with suits and ties on. And I go out there with a post hole digger, and I dug a 2-foot hole. And you know where that hole is? That hole is right where that trash started, right out there. Right out there is where that hole is. And I put that can in that hole, and we buried it. Everybody, the whole church went out there, gathered around it, and we said goodbye things that separate us from God, and we left it. Well, it was kind of ironic when all this trash that we had ended up in the same spot that was in. And those things cannot separate us from God because they're gone. Amen? You'll never find those things again because some of it went no telling where. And it's gone right now. Well, we got to look at some of that in our lives right now to where, baby, it is gone. It will never come back and separate us unless we start going and consuming it back on ourselves. But we need to consume God. Amen? Amen. Another thing is care. God has care for you in every part of your life. And then he was talking about the Good Samaritan. It says, this is us now. Jesus told this story. One guy asked him, he said, how can a man enter the kingdom of heaven? And he said, love your neighbors, yourself, and all that kind of stuff. And he says, he told his story. He said, one day there was a Samaritan. This man went from Jericho to Jerusalem, went down to Jericho. He goes down. He gets caught by thieves. They beat him up, throw him in a ditch, hurt him, wound him, everything. It says this. It says, a certain priest came by. A priest now. He comes by, and he sees the man on the other side of the road, and he turns and goes to the other side. Goes away from him. And then a little while later, a Levite comes by. It says he came to the man, and he looked at him. And it says he turned, and he went to the other side of the road. But then Jesus said there was a Samaritan that came, and he saw the man. He saw him. He saw the condition he was in. And he knelt down, and he got the man, and he got him, and he put him up on something and took care of him. He bandaged him and put oil on him and took care of this man. And then he took him to a place and put him in an inn and left him there. And he said, when I come back, if there's any charge, I will pay that price. See, that's Christ. That's the way Christ does things. And we should never leave people stranded on the side of the road. You know, I was that way when I grew up. I was that wounded person that was in that ditch. And I watched God send people to me and nurse me and doctor me and put oil on me and whatever. But to get me back to a place to where I am today. And so are you. Because we were all that way one time. Amen? The conclusion of this is we have eternal life. We have rewards. One day we're going to wear a crown. I'm going to probably have long, curly hair like I used to have. We're going to have peace forevermore. What a promise. What a conclusion. I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's where we're headed. But I want to ask you today, would you follow Jesus today? He's knocking on your heart's door today. And it's a matter of what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Are we walking in the Spirit today, every one of us? Are we walking in the flesh? Are we just trying to satisfy and make these little needs that we got happy? Are we walking in the Spirit? Because I've learned, if I do seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto me. Amen? Walk as children of light. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come right now, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that's come forth. I thank you, Lord, that you've reminded me, Lord God, that we're all people, that every one of us, Lord, have issues. We have problems in our life. And all of us have a sinful nature. And Lord, we don't want to live in a sinful nature, Lord God. We want to die to those things. And we want to follow you. When you get up in the mornings and say, come, follow me, Lord, we want to be right in step where you place us. Lord, we want to be people that will speak with boldness. We want to be people that would be givers. We want to be people that would trust in you, Lord, because we know that when we can trust in you, you'll lead us to paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We know surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And Lord, I pray for every person in this building today that you would touch their lives and minister to them, Lord God. Those that have gone through emotional problems, loss of things, and just they're weary, Lord God. Some of them are just weary and totally confused about what's going on. Lord, we pray that it would be clean, it would be clear as a bell to them, that they would know you are in charge. And as they trust you with all of their heart, with all their body, soul, and spirit, Lord, that you would encourage them today. Let them know that they're loved. And Father, we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.